Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dave Fleming, presented by the County of Santa Clara. It's our 95.7 The Game Giants Insider. Wasn't the prettiest weekend back in Pittsburgh, Dave Fleming. But hey, Alex Wood, the first San Francisco Giants pitcher to start a season. Did I read this correctly, Dave? Since Barry Zito started 5-0 back in 2010. And good morning, Flem. Great to have you back.
Kate, you don't remember the glory days of Barry Zito? Come on.
Oh, I do. But Dave, I couldn't believe that it had been 11 years since any other Giant starter had done that.
Well, considering they've had some big starts in that time, it is kind of surprising. And look, I think we know now in this era of baseball not to judge pitchers by wins and losses, because, you know, it's not like the old days where pitchers are in for the whole game, and whether the team wins or loses was largely up to those starting pitchers. Now we know that's not the case. However, in the case of Alex Wood, I mean, I think it really does reflect. He's given the Giants have won all his starts, and he's been largely responsible for that. I mean, I can't imagine the Giants, even in their wildest dreams, thought that it was going to be this good. I know Farhan and Scott and the front office really, really likes Alex Wood and thought that with health he could be a difference maker, but this is taking it to a whole new level, and this is, to me, you know, maybe if you pointed to one player who's changed the expectation level of this Giants team, I don't know. You could make a pretty darn good case that Alex Wood is the one player who's most done that.
Yeah, the Farhan finds. It's absolutely incredible. Starting pitching against Pittsburgh, okay? 23 and a third innings, only 3 earned runs, incredible defense, and all anyone could talk about Saturday night was the bullpen. It feels like right now, Dave, the only reliable guy is Tyler Rogers, maybe Behringer or Garcia versus lefty. They've got to do something with this bullpen. What do you think they end up doing with Doval and McGee, and are they looking around?
Well, I think we talked about it last week, and I don't want to get into the weeds because it's not really that exciting about transactional roster management and all that stuff. But the reality is they have a full, and this is, you know, this is another kind of new development. Their 40-man roster is pretty darn full. So any of the candidates that they have in-house that aren't yet on the 40-man roster, Dominic Leone, Scott Kazmir, there are others, you would have to lose a player to get one of those to the big leagues. Now, we may get to that where the Giants are going to be willing to do that if they really feel like they need an upgrade and they have one that's worth giving a chance to. And I think they do have some of those guys who will earn a chance. But before you get there, you kind of exhaust all your other options before you lose a player off your team to somebody else. And I think that's kind of that's where they are right now. So are they looking? They will definitely be looking to upgrade. How will they do that internally, externally? Probably a combination of both. But for now, you know, I think they want to just try every possible option of the current roster and the current 40-man roster before they start losing talent out of the organization just to try to fix the bullpen.
You know, Flem, looking at the bats here, look, they had some timely hitting in this series against Pittsburgh, and don't need to have the bats show up at what do they call it now, Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati against the Reds and that lineup. But I'm looking at Longoria here. He hasn't been right since that hamstring injury. Is there a concern there? Do you see the Giants maybe placing him on the IL to get right? Because he is really struggling at the dish right now.
Yeah, I don't think he can. I mean, I think that is a huge issue right now. And I think you could probably say with Wilmer Flores, the same thing is happening. You know, Longoria, maybe it is the hamstring, but I think more than that, it is the whole plan for this team was to use the depth so that they could rest players, so that everybody stayed fresh, so that if somebody was feeling good, you could keep them feeling good. I mean, you know, the grind of a big league season just wears people out. And the older players, it wears them out faster. And right now, with no Tommy La Stella, with no Donovan Solano, Flores, Longoria are basically in there every single day. That is not the plan. The plan is to keep those guys fresher, and they just haven't been able to do that. So, I don't know. Gabe Kapler really would like to, kind of follow your suggestion and say something's got to happen to help Longoria kind of get out of this. But, yesterday Gabe told me that Longoria, that would have been a day off for him. But with Alex Wood on the mound, left-handed pitcher, loves to come inside to right-handed hitters, there's going to be action on the left side of the diamond. And there was. And Longoria made a couple good plays, and it helped the Mets win the game. So you kind of have to live with, okay, he looks beat up and tired right now. Can we give him a rest? Maybe for the next few days we still can't.
Talking with our 95.7 The Game Giants insider, presented each Monday at 8 by the County of Santa Clara, Dave Fleming. Going off of what you were just saying, Dave, somebody who is getting a great sense of regular rest, Buster Posey, he's hitting .382 in 26 games, Dave. I mean, we are all just blown away.
Yeah, and you're right to point out, I mean, I don't think it's a total coincidence that he's staying fresh, and, it's the one position right now where the Giants have kind of been able to stick to their plan, that catcher spot. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he's doing the way as well as he is. And yesterday to me was a perfect example. It wasn't a spectacular game in terms of, more home run power, although he's shown plenty of that. He had a 96 mile an hour fastball that was up on a line into center field. He beat out an infield hit. He got ahead in the count almost every time. He drew another walk. He's right now looks like about as comfortable as a hitter can look in the batter's box in this era of nobody looks comfortable because everybody's throwing so hard and you're seeing stuff that we've probably never seen before in the game. And Buster looks like, hey, I can handle this. It's pretty fun to watch.
Dave, I find this glove thing with Mauricio Dubon to be so fascinating. A baseball glove is so, it's molded to your hand, and it's about how you work it. Anybody who played ball growing up, like, my glove fits just me, and I don't really want anyone else touching it. And I'm sure these guys at the big league level are even more crazy and neurotic about the glove thing. But Dubon using Brandon Crawford's glove at shortstop, I've never seen anything like this in terms of, like, a one-off you see once in a while, but the whole weekend? Like, give us some explanation on this backstory of Dubon using Brandon Crawford's glove, because it's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, we do have to, we got to find out, because Mauricio couldn't remember when we asked him about it, like, when Crawford gave it to him. Was it this spring? Was it last spring? Dubon was like, I don't quite remember. So he's had it for a while. It isn't like he just grabbed it out of Crawford's locker this weekend, and I'm sure he's used it sporadically, maybe used it in games and we haven't noticed it, maybe he's just used it in batting practice or playing catch or whatever, but I think Mauricio, the thing you love about Mauricio, and sometimes it drives you crazy, is he does, you what you said is right, like, that's kind of how you remember as a kid, this is my glove. Well, Mauricio, he plays like a kid, and hey, my best friend or my big brother lent me his glove, so now I'm going to use his because I like the way it looks and I like him. And it's almost like that's what's going on with Dubon right now. And whatever it is, it's working because that guy is playing some great, great defense. And last year the outfield experiment went really well, and I was super impressed by that. I did not think his infield defense last year when he had chances to play was quite as good. And I was a little worried about that. Spring training, we watched Dubon in some Cactus League games kick it around at shortstop. I didn't think he looked very good out there. And gosh, has he flipped the switch once the season has started. And it's huge for the Giants because they don't have anybody else who can play shortstop really on this roster. And right now he looks great at second base. I mean, that defensive versatility is really helping this team.
There's no doubt, Flem. There's no doubt he's playing some good baseball right now in the field here. And I always look, Shasky hates when I do this, and Kate's going to learn. Always love to look ahead. I love looking ahead to the schedule, seeing who the Giants got in a week or two. And we know they have Ford, Cincinnati, and then the Dodgers come to town this weekend at Oracle Park. And they're going to play the Dodgers seven times within the next 2 weeks, and only one day off here as we get into June before they take on the Angels at the end of the month. So, you know, this is going to be a tough test for the Giants, man. Not only are they not healthy right now, but playing these two teams, man, it's going to be tough for them, Cincinnati and the Dodgers. Let's just start with the Reds. Give us a little preview of what's to come over these next four.
Yeah, it's a really tough test. I mean, there are times during a baseball season where you go into survival mode. And to me, these next couple weeks for the Giants are survival mode. And so as frustrating as this weekend was at times, the Giants should have won all four games. They should have, period. They didn't. They only won two of them. As frustrating as that can be, I think sometimes in this sport, you got to remind yourself that, man, the season can wear on you and the schedule can get you. And right now, with a very thin roster, way more thin than it would be, some help is coming. Alex Dickerson came back yesterday. He's to get back in the swing. Mike Yastrzemski looks like he's getting it going now. Donovan Solano should be ready for that Dodgers season. But the big pick, you know, Belt is still beat up. Longoria, as you said, he's a little beat up. This team is not at full strength. And so they're facing a tough Reds team in a really tough ballpark to play in. And then their big rivals without a full complement, without the rest to get everybody fresh. That is difficult. And so for me this week, you know, before they come home, they're going to get an energy boost. You play your rivals, you're at home where the Giants have played so well. I bet you the Giants play really well this weekend. But these four games, these are win one or two and be okay with it to me. Now, that, you know, the players would never say that. But right now, the Giants are not, you know, the Giants are not really equipped right now to go out slug somebody. They're just right now, that's not the way it's working. And sometimes in Cincinnati, you got to do that. So maybe a game or two here, you get hot, pop a few home runs and get out of town.
Yeah, on my success flow chart, I didn't have not hitting as, you know, them finding a way to have a successful first 2 months. Like, that was not in the cards for me. The PGA Championship this week, one of the big majors. It sounds like you're in an airport right now, Dave. I'm ready to rattle off all my hot takes on who I believe is going to win, but I'll just leave you with this, and I want your opinions on when you're going to broadcast, who you like. Jordan Spieth going for the Grand Slam. If he gets this PGA Championship, he will secure one win at the Open, at the U.S. Open, and at the Masters. He would have that fourth, that slam that he wants for the career. I got Jordan Spieth this week. He's in form. I love this guy. When are you broadcasting, and who do you like this week for the PGA Golf Championship?
Yes, I am in the airport in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm actually at the rental car line. So that's even better than being in the airport terminal. Very glamorous spot to be talking to you. Very glamorous. Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. Kia was a different golf course. It's on the ocean. It sort of plays like an ocean, linksy kind of course. Jordan says he's going to be comfortable there. He likes the type of grass. You know, he grew up playing a lot of golf on Bermuda-style grass, and he got some of that out here. I think he's as good a pick as any. The weird thing about this tournament is that of the great players in the world, you know, DJ's hurt and Rahm's kind of been up and down and McIlroy finally found a win, but he hasn't been great this year. You know, there aren't a lot of the top players who are really playing great coming into this tournament. And so to me, Jordan is as good a pick as any. I think he's really feeling confident and good. And it would be the best story for us. I mean, it'd be the best story in golf if he were to do it. Whether he does it or not, it's, you know, it's still a golf tournament with 150 players. It's hard to win, but I think he's a good pick. And as far as when I'm on, I'm going to send you my spreadsheet, and you can tell me because I can't really tell when I'm on. I'm on a lot. I'm on a lot. I'm on a lot of different holes. I'm on different holes at different times. But basically Thursday, Friday, our ESPN coverage, you know, I'll probably be on in the morning Thursday, afternoon Friday. I'll be in the 15th tower. You'll find me some on ESPN Plus doing our extra coverage when I'm not in the tower. Then Saturday and Sunday, we get the morning coverage before CBS takes over for the, you know, the leaders down the stretch on Saturday and Sunday. So I'll be done by you know, the time the leaders are teeing off on Sunday, but I'm still thrilled to be here. It should be really, really fun.
As a golf junkie, ESPN Plus getting into the negotiations on golf was the best thing that ever happened because the amount of golf shots to actual commercials is through the roof. Dave, baseball needs to take a page out of the ESPN Plus golf package. I'm dead serious.
Well, baseball is a little different. Golf, we do have a lot of players out there, a lot of shots to choose from.
That's true.
And I am proud of our coverage. I mean, our producers prioritize that. And so it's really, really fast-paced. And the one challenge for me on the air is to get in and get out and set the stage that I'm calling and get on to the next one really fast. So
yep.
It makes it fun and super fast-paced, but that is a challenge.
Well, Dave, get into that rental car. I love that cute little Charleston airport. Can't wait to watch you and listen to you. And, yeah, pass along that schedule. We'll tweet it out just like you want. Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you next week.
Tweet it out and tell me where I'm supposed
exactly.
to be.
Exactly.
Thank you, Kate.
We're on it. That's the great Dave Fleming.